broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on this Getaway Friday, July the 14th, 2023. Can you imagine? We're almost halfway through the month of July. 16 coming up on 17 minutes past the hour, and I've been teasing this for the last couple days, that we had a gentleman coming in the studio today who I'm sure you know very, very well. I have not given the name out, but and I confirmed this when he came in this morning, has not done any media in the last 3 years, and we did a lot of media together because of his position, which I did not give away because that certainly would have given the guest away. But I'm so glad in his first media appearance in over 3 years, he is back in the studio with me for the hour this morning, Sheriff Tim Bailey. Sheriff Bailey, how are you?
Good morning, Scott. Thank you very much for having me, and good morning to your listeners. Thank you for having me. Like you say, I haven't been out and about, and it's nice to be back and see you again.
So good to see you. We went through the beginning of the pandemic together. We went through numbers of big cases here in Marion. Move of the sheriff's station. A lot of water under the bridge.
Yes, yes. I can't even begin to think about all of the things that happened in the last 16 years, but it was a good run. I enjoyed it. I had a great staff, and I think things went well. And I think we left the office in good order so that the new administration could come in and hit the ground running.
Now, 3 years, you have not done any media. Was there any particular reason?
So, not to go deep into this, but my daughter was ill, and so that took up just about the first year. And when she passed away, my wife retired, and we had a camper at the time. We'd been camping for a number of years, and so we bought a motor home, and we've been traveling all around the country, east of the Mississippi, through the Carolinas, Florida, Alabama, Tennessee, and so forth. So we've been on the road a lot, and even when we're not camping, we've been traveling Washington. We went to Arizona this past January to Grand Canyon, which is pretty awesome. If you've not been there, it's Arizona's a great state. So that's what we've been doing. We just haven't been tied down in one spot for a while. And as you know, you had a lot of trouble getting a hold of me because while I do have a phone, I rarely carry it anymore. I don't have it tied to my hip like I did in the last 16 years. So.
I don't want to get in too deep to this, but I do want to, just for the purposes of recounting, during the last election, which would have been the fall of 2020, I was one of the moderators of the debate, the candidates' night, and you could not attend that because your daughter was ill at that time. And I think we did say that on the air that night, that you were not You were just not there, just not to be there. You had an illness in your family, yes. And obviously people now know what that was.
And I appreciate the understanding of you and the public that it was a very, very tough time.
So I get, and like I say, not to get too deep in on this, but now that she has passed, because a lot of people go through that, and it's so abnormal to have a child go before you. I can't think of anything that could be worse. How have you been dealing with that?
Well, she was 40 years old. She was a registered nurse, and she lived with us, and it was my wife's only child, and so she was my stepdaughter, and we had, I think, a great relationship, and she contracted brain cancer. It's called a glioblastoma. It's a fatal brain disease, and so it was a two-year event. We took her to South Carolina every month, or I'm sorry, North Carolina, sorry, North Carolina every month to the Duke University. They were doing a clinical trial there, and we did that for about a year, and then ultimately it came back, and she passed away. been very difficult for my wife. As you can imagine, she her only child, and so she's trying to get through it.
I don't know how anybody ever could get past that. Clearly, you have to go on.
Right.
But boy, that is just. I mean, I've talked to so many people who have lost children, and they live lives. I mean, they go on, but I don't know if you ever get over it.
So, as I said, she was a nurse, so she touched a lot of people. She worked in a labor delivery setting, and she helped deliver babies from a lot of people in Marion. And then the people that she worked with at the hospital had nothing but great respect for her. And so where I'm going with that is that when she passed, there was so much support outpouring from people that at the funeral home, there was a line all the way out and down the street. And we appreciate that, and it's very nice.
Well, and I don't normally do this, but I do want to say this to just kind of put a pin in this particular issue and get on to some more fun times. But during that last campaign that you were running back in 2020, you were dealing with this. You couldn't come to the League of Women Voters debate. It becomes difficult to campaign for an office. Now, we don't know what would have happened regardless, but it becomes very difficult to campaign for an office when you have something like that going on in your family. And I believe she was in the hospital during the debate. And I never heard you complain one time. So that's the truth.
I'm not sure where to go with that. I know that in 2019, she actually contracted the illness. She had surgery and then clinical trials. So it was actually preceded the campaign. And yes, we were going through the campaign. And Joanne, which was her name, she was always a big help. She went out and drove me around, put signs in the yard, and passed out literature and all those things that you need from your supporters. So it was difficult, but I had some people close to me that jumped in and filled in and helped me put up yard signs and go around like that. But it was most difficult to focus and concentrate on issues that I was being questioned about. It was difficult.
I mean, well, and I can also say, I believe I'm right in saying this, you would have participated in four League of Women Voter debates, or Candidates Night, I think is what they call them. Yeah. I believe you showed up to the last three, so again, there was something going on at that time. And that happens 3 weeks before the election.
Yeah. So there are a number of let's say meetings or campaign settings that took place throughout my career during my campaigns, and I tried to attend every one of them. I thought it was important that you get out to talk to people, tell them what has been done and what we're going to do, and so forth. So again, it was kind of it was problematic, kind of being mentally in two places at the same time.
And just to go back to that campaign, because we haven't had a chance to speak to you since then, anybody who's been following politics here in Marion knows it's very tough to be a Democrat and win since 2016. And a matter of fact, when Sheriff Bailey ran in 2016 for his fourth term, he was the only Democrat who won that night. I do believe I'm right on that.
I think you're right. And that was against two other candidates.
It was a three. Yes, it was. And so, you know, do you think, well, I'll just ask you openly here with that fact on the table. Why do you think you didn't win in 2020 when you were going for your fifth term? Which, by the way, another piece of history the sheriff and I have together is he announced he was running for a fifth term on our show. So,
oh, he did?
Yeah. You did.
Oh, I did.
You did.
Yeah,
okay. You said you were going to run for a fifth term because you wanted to finish. I still call you sheriff. I can't call you anything
else. That's
all right. But you said you were going to run for your fifth term because you had just moved into the new command center and you wanted to see that through. So why do you think it didn't turn out in your favor?
So I think there were a number of things. And if you step back and you look around the state, there were a number of Democratic sheriffs, sitting sheriffs, that I always liken to say, I didn't do anything criminal overt. And these other sheriffs did not. And they lost. It was really a very telling thing that some of these long-term sheriffs just lost. And I think it's a Republican world. I think that Trump carried a lot of, he still does. He carries a lot of supporters. So, you can couple that with, I don't know. You tell me why I lost, I guess, would be.
I don't know, but I certainly know that if you look down ticket in 2016 when Trump won Ohio, you were the only Democrat in Marion County who won. And then we look at 2020, and if you look down ticket, I don't remember any Democrats winning in Marion County,
that's right,
including you. So do people know? They used to know. They used to vote locally, even if nationally they went another way. They used to look, who's the sheriff? Who's the prosecutor? Who's the mayor? Who's the city council people? Boy, it's the R and the D now, unless it's a very rare occasion since 2016. Why?
You ask, there's a lot to that. I would say, first of all, going back to me, I would say I'd like to believe I was a better cop than I was a politician. I was a police or a law enforcement officer for 40-some years, and I like that career, and I like the people and so forth. But when it goes out, when you have to go out and ask people for money and for help, that's not in my character. That's not me. I'd rather be in the office or on the street and so forth. So I'm not a very good politician. And as I kind of mentioned earlier, I was talking to a young lady, and she did not know any other sheriff than me because she was 21. And so she was 5 years old when John Butterworth was sheriff. So she didn't know anyone but me. So it might have been time for a change. Could very well have been.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you believe, and obviously you are a Democrat, but a lot of people don't feel the sheriff's office is political in that way. But do you believe if you'd have just had an R next to your name, you would have won?
I think so. In fact, there were a number of R's that came to me and wanted me to change parties. And I've been a Democrat my entire life since I first voted in the early 70s. And I just couldn't do that. But I think you're right. I think that had there been an R back there, might have been a little different.
Still that way today, up till the last election. We'll see what happens in 3 months. But what does that say about us locally? Nationally, that's a whole nother thing. But locally, what does that say about us? That we're strictly voting party lines.
I think that's a trend. I mean, there. We've talked about this before. I think when last time I was here, but there's such a distinct line between the parties. And I was told many, many years ago that politics is the art of compromise. You're not going to get what you want, and I'm not going to get what I want. So as long as you're going to stand and put your heels in and you're not going anywhere, I don't think we're going to progress at all. And I think that's where we are. I don't like the rudeness that comes out of this, of name-calling your opponent and the other party, and it's not me, and it's not what I like to see.
Just to wrap up 2020, because we haven't had a chance to talk to you since then, our current sheriff, Bales, he won 60-40, which was about the trend for everybody in Marion County. As a matter of fact, I think you did a little better than some of the other Democrats that year. When you get the word, after having four successful elections, you said this would be your last. What did you feel like? Did you feel going in that you would... Did you feel that night that things were not looking good after four successful elections?
Let's say that I stayed up late and watched the returns, and to be absolutely honest and blunt, I was shocked at the spread. The fact that I could lose is always there, but I was really shocked by the wide margin that happened. I mean, I'm not going to bash my opponent. I don't believe in that, but certainly things could have gone a different way. Not sure.
Yeah, when
I mean, there are laws, and those laws were violated, and I think it was wrong.
Now, what laws were violated?
Campaign laws. Well, I'll just come out and say it. He was out campaigning while he was on sick leave, and he was campaigning as a classified employee, which is against the law. I talked to five lawyers, two of them judges, that said this is all wrong. And so I filed a complaint. I don't know if you recall that, but I went to the Board of Elections and filed a complaint saying that this should not be allowed to happen, and they felt that it was not within their jurisdiction to do that. So, and I think if you go down the road that, I mean, just look at the administration. The chief did not stop him, and ultimately he made the chief his chief deputy. So read the tea leaves and see what you come up with there.
Well, as I say, Sheriff Bailey and I have a lot of history, and that kind of leads into a whole other thing, because the chief of police at that time was Bill Collins. Of course, we all know Bill. Now he's running for mayor.
Yes.
See, now, there's a lot to unpack here with what the former sheriff said here. Here's part of the history with Sheriff Bailey and I. During that election, Sheriff Bailey came on the show, the 2020 election, and said, because Chief Collins was leaving the police force. I think he had to leave. I think it was the time for him to go. But he was leaving that position.
I think so. I think that he was in what's called the DROP program, which is a retirement program for the Ohio Police and Firemen's Pension Fund. I think that was, I think that's why he was leaving.
And Sheriff Bales made the announcement. At that time, he was not Sheriff Bales, but at that time, Bales said that as soon as he's done there, he's going to come over and he's going to run with me, and he will be my chief deputy when I hopefully win. And this story happened. Sheriff Bailey came on at that time, and I asked him about this, and it turned into a little bit of a little contretemps at that time, because you said that Bill Collins had told you that he would not do that, and made some other assertions that he was not going to campaign against you, stay partial, so on and so forth, and Bill Collins denied it at that time, that had ever happened, but that's what happened.
He denied that conversation?
Yeah, he denied that conversation.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll get you a tape of that.
That's interesting, because actually that had that happened in the 2004 election. Yeah, 2004. My first run, he said he was going. They were going to stay out of the campaign because a former police officer was running, and they didn't want to get in the middle of it. I said, I understand that. This took place in the chief's office, and I understood that. And I appreciate the fact, but it didn't happen. So read it for what it is. It did. The conversation took place. I ask him bluntly, because as the chief, he's a classified employee, and the law prohibits him from getting involved in campaign issues.
Do you believe that hurt you, that he was campaigning with Bales?
Yes, I do. Excuse me. I think that to back up the story just a little bit, so Sheriff Bales at the time, back years ago, was a classified employee, and he wanted to run for sheriff years ago, and he wanted the city to change the union contract that would allow him to run, which I don't see how you can do that. I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not professing to interpret the law, but way I understand it, that you know, you can't circumvent the law by a contract. So it did not happen, and then the next term he tried it again. Ultimately, he ignored the law, and he ignored the administration, and he did it anyway, which prompted me to file the complaint of what he was doing. So I think that his name recognition might have been out there a little bit, family and residential area and school district and so forth. But the chief obviously got all the publicity because he was the spokesperson for the police department. So his name held a lot more. So when Bales asked Collins to jump in on this, I think that carried a lot of weight. Was I think that carries a lot of weight to today.
The mayoral election.
And with all due respect to Glenn, he's going to have to get out there and make some noise, and he's going to have to jump into this with both feet, because I think Collins has the name recognition.
Being a Democrat, who do you support in this mayoral election? Would you endorse anybody if asked?
I would not endorse Collins.
But you possibly...
I would endorse Glenn.
Would endorse Collins?
Yes. I've known Bill Collins for many, many years, as well as a number of people on my staff. I know him, and for years, the things that he's done, I'm not going to bring them up, but I would not endorse him for that at all.
Just on a personal level, let me ask you this. You say the guy you clearly know better is Bill Collins.
Yes.
But he's also the guy you clearly would not endorse.
That is correct.
And actually said, yes, I would endorse Glenn Coble.
Yes.
Personally, why is that?
Well, I think Glenn has the integrity to get out there. He's run on a number of different occasions, but trying to garner up Democratic support in this day and age is difficult. But I would vote for him.
Is there a main reason, not to beat this to death, but is there a main reason you wouldn't vote for Bill Collins or would never support him?
Ethics. Yes.
Has he been an ethical police chief, an ethical chief deputy, in your opinion?
Well, I think preceding that, I mean, he has an employee that's not following the law. I mean, this guy wants to be the sheriff, and yet he feels that he can go out and do what the rest of the community, the rest of the citizens that are, there are people that in the police department that I know that would like to run for office, and there are people on my staff that would like to be sheriff someday, but they can't do that because the law prohibits it. So you walk into this with muddy feet. I think Bill Collins looked the other way and let this happen in return for a position at the sheriff's office.
It's only been Bill Collins assume the chief deputy sheriff position in January of 2021. Mm-hmm. He announced he's running for mayor in January of 2023. That's only 2 years. Do you think this was a plan? Do you think he had it in his mind?
Well, I don't know I don't know when Mayor Schertzer made up his mind that he wasn't going to run. That would be the...
He did it on this show the day before. Collins announced. So there's the timing of it all.
Well, Scott, to be honest with you, I have not followed... I don't live in the city, right. But and I don't follow the city politics that closely, but was this a plan? I don't know. It sure looks like it.
Well, the only other question I want to ask about this is because you brought up the classified employee thing, and we've seen that rear its head this year in the mayoral race already, in which a complaint was filed by a Democrat, I believe his name was Christian Dunstan, mm-hmm. that Bill Collins is a classified employee, being the chief deputy, which he still is in that position to this day, and it was thrown out, I was at that hearing, because Mr. Dunstan was a Democrat, so in the primary, he was not a part of the electorate. Now, I guess he would be. Nobody's filed a complaint. Who knows? I guess you have until November to do that. But I guess, Sheriff, you know these positions. Is the chief, you may know better than anybody, is the chief deputy sheriff's chief deputy, Bill Collins, in that position right now, running for mayor, is he a classified employee?
Well, see, that would be up to the sheriff. And he has the ability to name a number of employees as fiduciary positions, typically the administrative assistant, budget, some of these office people that help run the office. And the chief deputy, from my perspective around the state, all the sheriffs, the chief deputies, or captains, or whatever you want to call them, are fiduciary positions. They're unclassified positions.
So
my chief deputies, Al Hayden and Aaron Corwin, were fiduciary employees. They were unclassified.
I think this all came about because I think there was a Marianne Starr article in which Bill Collins said that he had either, I don't have it in front of me, but it was either had given advice or something in regard to the budget for the sheriff's office. Given advice, helped with the budget. It was something of that nature.
I'm sorry.
That Bill Collins had said, I think when he announced he was running for mayor back in January, that he had budget experience because as chief deputy sheriff, he had helped with the budget. Basically, so that made him a classified employee in a lot of people's position.
I would look at that from the opposite perspective, that my chief deputy went in and helped with the budget, personnel issues, all of those things. And you have to have an individual in a position of trust that you can let run and take care of these things. So I don't want to defend Bill Collins, but I don't think that merely helping with the budget, because in my administration, that's what the chief deputy was supposed to be doing, all of those administrative things for the sheriff.
Want to get back. The election happens. The media is the media, and I do remember this. It was either the next day or 2 days later, but the headline read, "New Sheriff in Town."
Yeah.
When you see that after your service, 16 years, you're still in the position at that point, how does that make you feel?
Well, I was disappointed. I can't say that I wasn't. In the last few years of my administration, we had an office with sewage in the basement, and I can't say enough good things about my staff. They could have literally walked off the job, and wouldn't have been anything we could do about it because of the sewage smell and so forth. So I admired the people that worked for me. Any successes we had were certainly due to them, and so it was... I could see the writing on the wall that some of those people were going to lose their jobs. So it was a whole thing that was personally, you don't want to lose, but I was ready to move on. And then I knew that some of the people that had been there for 25 years, 20 years, excellent employees, were going to lose their jobs. And they did lose their jobs.
Is that a political thing, or is that just a we don't like you thing? Are you associated with the last sheriff?
I think it's a couple things. It's a political thing, but instead of, and I think Sheriff Bales has taken the sheriff's office back 50 years. Back in the 70s, the sheriff would get elected, come in, would fire everybody and bring all of his employees, or bring all of his friends in. And you're seeing that right now with his administration. So along came the classification for public employees to give them some protection. Now, with that, they were not allowed to get involved in politics. The Hatch Act is a famous word federally, and then statewide it's the same thing. So he had the right to come in and replace people with his own people. That's certainly... When I came in, I kept everyone and moved on. So he fired some people that been there 25 years that had a lot of experience that could have helped him out.
When you say Sheriff Bales has taken back the sheriff's department 50 years, what do you mean?
Well, he accused me of bringing all my friends in, and that's not true because I don't have any friends. But,
well, I'm sure that's not true.
Well, but no, I did not bring in friends.
Didn't bring in friends, but yeah.
Yeah, no, and I'm not a Marion boy. I've lived here the majority of my adult life, but and in turn, when he came in, he got rid of people, moved them around, and brought in his people from the police department, so... It's likens back to the days when The sheriff came in, cleaned house, brought in his own people, and tried to make a powerhouse out of it.
Again, I only ask you this because nobody at this point, I think, would know the position better than you, having been sheriff for 16 years. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you grade Sheriff Bales?
You know, to be honest with you, I'm not in any position to assess that. There's an old saying that if you want to get reelected, stay out of the news. That perception is that you're doing a good job and that you're not controversial. And I don't see much about him in the news, so I don't know. I hear things from deputies internally, and you've got to take that with a grain of salt that not everyone likes the boss anyway. So.
Well, we keep hearing, one thing we do keep hearing, because I do want you to address this, is that the Sheriff's Department and the Police Department are working together now better than they ever have. What do you make of that?
Well, I'm sure that's probably true, since he came from the Police Department. He opened the Sheriff's Office to all the police officers. That's certainly true. I had my issues with the police department, particularly over the 911 center, trying to consolidate that they didn't want to do it. And finally, when they did it, it was a case where they tried to run it. I also had issues with the 10 fire departments. They wanted to run it, and it's actually a sheriff's function. We had the 911 center. They are sheriff's employees, paid, scheduled, and so forth by the sheriff's office. So I just give you one example. I had a firefighter call up the dispatcher and say, we want you to do ABC. And so that was left with one dispatcher, not the supervisor, not the chief deputy or anybody, not knowing if that's the way it should be done. Is that the new protocol? Is that the new policy and the procedure? And then you've got 17 other employees that are kind of left in the dark. So I called up and I said, does your chief know about this? Well, no, but this was the way he would want it. And I'm like, "That we can't have that." So I put out to the fire departments, if you want a change, then have the chief give it to me, so I can put it in writing and tell my dispatchers, because 10 departments wanted it done 10 different ways. It was just that simple, and it was a problem. So with that, there was a lot of friction early on with the fire departments, and I had the same thing with the police department. So while I was attempting to serve everyone in the public service community and the community, it was a tough job at times. So he comes in and he's like, yep, I'll do all of this. And
there it is.
There it is.
I want to get to some things in regard to your 16 years as sheriff, because there's a lot to get to there. But there is one more point I do want to get to about the mayoral race, because this is kind of fascinating. And again, you would have a unique perspective on this. Another issue came up because Bill Collins is still the sheriff chief deputy running for mayor, and you can't do that on the clock. You can't run for mayor on the clock. And our prosecutor, Ray Grogan, said you can't do that. But as long as you're not on the clock, you can run. Glenn Coble has asserted many times, how is that possible? Because I guess that would disqualify you if you did that. That would be breaking up. Is it possible?
Let me make sure I understand what you're saying, that the chief deputy cannot...
cannot campaign for mayor while he's on the clock as chief deputy.
Well, in my world, the chief deputy was on the clock 24 hours a day. The sheriff is on the clock. The sheriff is responsible for the community. Even if I'm at a meeting in Washington or somewhere, it's still my responsibility. So I'm not sure where they come from with that. You're always on duty. If you're taking compensation,
is it a salaried position?
The sheriff, the chief?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The chief. Oh, okay.
Well,
so,
it was.
It's not like 9 to 5.
Right.
I'm getting paid hourly.
Right. Right.
So that is kind of interesting. How could you distinguish when you were on duty and when you were off duty?
So, if you're, let's say, can't think of anything right off the top of my head, but let's say you're off doing some other work and getting paid. You're getting paid twice, if that makes sense. Mm. You're over here teaching, and you're getting paid a salary. That is a conflict. That's a no-no. But I don't see where running, I know they'd like to hear that, you know, you can't do both at the same time, but I think you can.
And just the final thing, you said you would endorse Glenn if he asked you to. Who do you think is going to win, though? That's the question. We're getting close.
I think Bill Collins will win.
You think it'll be a big margin?
Yes. Just simply because of name recognition. He's been around a long time. His family, his father was a police officer. Brother was a trooper and was at one time in charge of the highway patrol. So I think he brings a lot in terms of name recognition that Glenn's going to have to overcome. That's why I'm saying he's going to have to go out and make some noise, and he's going to and not just push back and everything, but he's going to go out and get his name out there.
Want to talk about Mayor Schertzer here for a second. After 16 years, he's leaving his position as mayor of the city of Marion. I asked him, I said, well, what are you going to do now, Mayor? And he said, now he did not confirm anything, but he said he's not going to do anything till he leaves the office in January, but he said running for office is in his veins, and he would like another crack at a state office. He would like to do that again, but he also insinuated in our last interview, he did not confirm, so this is not a confirmation, but he brought up two county commissioner seats are going to be vacant next year. Not vacant. They're going to be up for election.
Yep.
We don't know if they're running again or not. It's Appafeller and Kerr Murray.
Right.
But that he's not confirming, but he would not be opposed to running for one of those positions. What do you make of that?
So I've not had, I want to make this clear, I've not had any conversations with Scott concerning this. I know that over the years, he has shown an interest with a state office. In fact, he ran for treasurer, and I was hoping he would get that, but that did not happen. He's a good administrator. He came through one of the most tough times with his first year in office when we had the 2008 debacle economically, and they had to get through that, and that was a very tough time trying to take labor contracts and fix streets and so forth. So he weathered that, and things are going well. I think he'd make a good county commissioner.
Would you ever run for anything again?
No.
Never.
I'm done.
You're done with that whole That wasn't a hard answer. Done with that.
I'm not interested in doing that anymore. Like I said, I'm not a good politician, and so I'll just sit by the sit in the stands and watch this one.
I don't know how much you know about this, but I don't think that the city really, or the county, knows much about this right now, but apparently there was a big dust-up Monday at the city council meeting between Sheriff Bales and City Councilman Jason Schauber over these cameras that have been put in the city.
Yeah,
the license, the automatic license plate readers. Schauber does not like the idea that they're there. I don't think he said why he doesn't like that they're there. Bales does like that they're there. But what do you make of these cameras?
Well, first of all, you're right. I'd like to know why the councilman is opposed to that. But that aside, we have had license plate readers on cruisers for years, a number of years. And how they work, they're on the fender, and as you pass a car, it captures the license plate. It goes into a computer, a laptop in the cruiser, and then it checks it against the national database on wanted people, stolen cars, etc. And so if it doesn't get a hit, it's stored in the database. At that time, it was stored at the Franklin County Sheriff's Office for a period of, I think it was 6 months, and then it was expunged. We've been doing it for years. Right after we put them on the cars, one of my deputies was going down a state highway, passed a car, got a hit, turned around, pulled over, the guy was wanted. So, and then so far as investigations, like we had a murder investigation, and we were trying to narrow down our suspect, so we went to the database and tried to find if there was any sighting of this car anywhere along the route. So it has a function, and I understand the privacy concerns of today's society. I really do. But this is on a public highway. I don't know where the city's putting them, but
I think there's one right out here.
You're on a public highway, and there's no expectation of privacy. Captures the license plate, runs it to the computer, stores it, expunges, so forth. What I thought was kind of interesting of the little article that I read is they are prohibiting it. And I don't know if that prohibits the sheriff from running them in the city. The city of Marion is within the confines of the county of Marion, and the sheriff is an elected official. He doesn't answer to anyone but the public and the voters. And so it's a legal question that can city council prohibit the sheriff from doing that. And then that's a whole different thing from, stationary cameras, which they have here.
I just wanted to ask you about this, because we haven't had a chance to talk since 2020, and it certainly, I think, was a big story here in Marion. The whole Judge Warner scandal, that was just unbelievable, I think, to a lot of people.
Yes.
What'd you make of it?
I mean, I was offended. I was absolutely offended. I think that had he made a different decision at the time, he'd still be the judge. But I have to throw this collectively into the Julie Cagle.
There's another one, yeah.
Our city auditor.
Robert Landon.
Yep. Judge Warner. Am I missing one? I think I'm missing one somewhere. But we need better candidates, people that are willing to come in and actually put the effort, put forth to work, and someone with an ethical background that wants to serve the public. You're holding an office for the public, and you work for them.
Did you know Judge Warner well?
Not on a personal level. He was at the city law director's office for a while, and then there, and then as judge, I've talked to him. We had a couple difference of opinion on issues, but we could work together.
Can you imagine that he's in prison right now with his wife's in prison?
I know, it's hard to believe. It's just
an unbelievable situation, really.
It is, and it's an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment for the community, the judicial. Poor judgment.
Do you think his license should be reinstated? I guess that's the question when he gets out. Will his license be reinstated?
So I know that there have been a number of public officials that have been asked to support his position and getting his license, and I was actually shocked at those that wanted to get involved in that. I don't think he has the right to get his license back.
16 years as sheriff, what do you consider the highlight?
Oh. So, first of all, I have to say that the people that worked for me, worked for the community, are the people that made things happen. So the successes were due to them, and the failures were due to me. But I had a great staff. There were some cases. I had a case in 1980, long before I was sheriff, where we found a young lady that was murdered. And right before I retired, we were able to determine the suspect that did that. We had a young lady whose bones we found up on Victory Road. It took us 10 years to identify her. And with the help of the U.S. Marshals Service, Marshal Elliott up in Cleveland, he called me up, gave me some information, and we were able to identify her. And that was a 10-year truck trying all over the world. We talked to agencies all over the world trying to identify that. We had another unidentified body, And that one we worked again all across the United States trying to identify him, and we were able to identify him just before I left. So those were some long-standing cases that I was glad to get off the table.
A lot of good stuff. Right. Next year, it can't believe it's almost been 4 years, but the sheriff will be up for re-election. Have you heard any rumblings about a Democrat possibly running against him?
No, I have not heard.
You live in the county. Would you vote for Sheriff Bales?
No.
Based on?
Ethics.
Ethics as well.
Corruption, ethics, call it whatever you want. No. You can't go out here and be the sheriff and you know, violate the law when you're supposed to be enforcing the law. So,
you know, it's very interesting. When Sheriff Bailey came in today, we were reminiscing about Ron Scheider and Max Ross and John Butterworth, the former sheriffs of Marion County here. And sheriffs are remembered. Sheriff is kind of like mayor, and especially when you're there a while, people, as you said, that you're the only sheriff that this girl remembered.
Yes, some of the young people.
Right? How do you want to be remembered? Max is gone. John's gone. You're not going to be gone for a while, but how would you like to be remembered?
I have to give credit where credit's due, and that is when Max Ross came in, he took the sheriff's office into a modern realm. Scheider came in, and he advanced it forward. A lot of good things, a lot of good things, which he campaigned on, but I think his personality is what, but he did a lot of good things. And then John Butterworth comes along, and he was sheriff for 24 years, if I recall correctly, and he moved the office forward. So I would hope that I would be remembered as someone who was progressive, that took what John and the others had built and moved it forward into a modern law enforcement agency responsible to the people.
And just to make clear, I mean, these are, I don't believe they all were Democrats, were they?
Yeah, they all.
Oh, they all were Democrats.
The last Republican sheriff was 1968.
Yeah, so not all sheriffs have been Republicans or Democrats.
No.
So there you go. So that's it, but you feel currently it's going backwards 50 years.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's the way it goes. Now, here's something I do want to mention. First of all, it's so great to have Sheriff Bailey back in the studio, and I hope you come back. Hope this isn't the only time you're here. It's fun to talk with you. I always enjoy it. It's interesting. But I do want to say this, because I always said this, and it is true, that when Sheriff Bailey was sheriff, and this doesn't happen with everybody, and I'm not going to say it, who it happens with and who it doesn't, but media has trouble sometimes getting through on a story. And if you call the dispatch center, which is what you have to do, you don't sometimes get an answer, and that's troublesome. And I had said that to Sheriff Bailey at one point, and Sheriff Bailey, and I know he did this with other media as well, gave me his cell phone, and the entire time he was sheriff, if I left a message, most of the time he answered the cell phone. If he didn't have the answer, he got back to me with an answer. So that's just the way it was, and I appreciate it.
Thank you. One of the issues we have is getting the story out there and getting it correct. And so it was a long-standing policy going back many, many years that the only person that talked to the media was the sheriff or maybe the chief deputy. So knowing that you have a job to do and the other reporters have a job to do, I lessened that down to say that the street supervisor, the shift supervisor, you get to the scene, and you gather some basic information, and the news media's set up over here. You tell them what's going on. At this time, we got this call, and this is what happened, and here's what we're doing. And, you know, it's just basic. It gives you something to go with. So try to lessen that grip on that. But when you have everyone talking about what's happening and, you know, this deputy says this or this dispatcher says that, then you run the risk of getting wrong information. We had a case one time, we had a shooting, and the story came out, it was a white man, and so we're looking for white, and then it was a black man, and no, it was a white man. I mean, you can just see in the chaos of cases sometimes those kind of things happen. And in today's world, instant communications. We know what's going on in other states just as soon as it happens. So you got to play ball with the media.
Well, and I always appreciated it, and I appreciate you coming in today. I know, like I say, you don't do these often. First one you've done in 3 years, and again, hope it's not the last, because it's good to have perspective.
Thank you.
Yes, on things, and it's a pleasure to be here with Sheriff Tim Bailey, 16-year sheriff here in Marion County. All right, Pastor Craig is coming up in 15 minutes.
Down on the beautiful city of Marion from the WWDH News Chopper. If you would like to ever submit a news tip or an event to the WWDH News Department, email Scott at WWDH1071.com and watch out for the chopper. And now a few words from Scott Spears, Charlie Evers, and the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams.
Ted, I remember so well when you announced you were going to run for president on my show.
I do too. But after a while, I decided to get out of the race.
Why was that?
Well, I didn't want to move to a bad neighborhood.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
This is Lulu Roman from the hit TV series Hee-Haw, and I want you to listen to the Adam the Computer Guy show right here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM in Marion, Ohio.